It's been about 3 months ago when my wife, Patty, received a call from Sam Cervini. Do we know who Sam is? No, I don't. But Sam knew my father, and Sam has been trying to locate my father for the last 40 years. Patty spoke with Sam and told him that my father had passed 14 years ago. Sam was saddened by this news, as he had seen on the internet, you can always trust the internet, that my father, Paul Garland, was 96 years old, and he's still alive. Sam was excited because he did have to search for us, that he had at least found my dad's family. Sam went on to relate the reason for the call after a 40-year search. As Sam put it in his words, and I quote, "I was a 22-year-old boy when I left New Jersey and moved to Pompano Beach, Florida. I had a troubled life and was looking for a new start. I had no money, I had no friends, I had no place to live, and I had no skills when I arrived in Pompano Beach, Florida. I was looking for a job doing anything I could possibly do when he came across my dad's place of business. He gave me a job. Not only did he give me a job, he gave me a place to live. He taught me a skill. He changed my life." How many of us have ever been told that by our actions that we changed somebody's life? Unfortunately, my dad never got to hear Sam's thank you. Sam continued on by saying, "And for that, what my dad did, I have always wanted to personally thank him for everything he did for me as a lost young man." My wife relayed to me the contents of this call. It was the kind of story that made me feel good about my dad. But then again, that was my dad's personality. He was a country boy with a big heart. Sam is now 62 years old. But his story of being thankful for what my dad did for him resonates within me, and hopefully you, about how being thankful is a huge part of our lives as Christians. So many things to be thankful for. Thankful above all for our calling. Thankful for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and God our Father, for all they do for us in our lives, our brothers and sisters in Christ, our freedoms that we have. Thankful for the beauty of the day that we have outside. Thankful that we live in a land that is free of war, unlike Ukraine. Thankful for each new day of life that God gives us. Thankful for the food on the table. Thankful for what others do for us. We can probably relate to someone that we owe a debt of gratitude and thanks to for their presence in our lives. And thankfulness is a necessary part or attribute of a Christian's life. You know, thankfulness is mentioned 73 times in the New Testament. And did you know that it is recorded 7 times in the Bible that Jesus Christ gave thanks to the Father. And I won't go through all of them today, but in John 11:41, you don't have to turn there, but it says the apostle John wrote, "So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me.'" Speaking of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And again, we see Christ thanking the Father in both the feeding of the 4,000, the loaves of bread and the fish, Matthew 15:36. And again, in John 6:11, thanking the Father for the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus Christ gave us an example that we should do likewise and follow that example. Also in the Passover service, Jesus Christ gave thanks at the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the wine. You can turn over to Colossians 3, starting in verse 15. Colossians 3:15, it says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, since as members of one body," which is what we are, "you were called to peace and be thankful." Thankful. "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart." Unfortunately, it seems that so many have lost the message of Christ in our world. To have gratitude dwelling in our everyday lives, day after day and year after year. The pages of our Bible are filled with admonishments to be thankful and grateful. Both those words seem to mean the same thing, yet there are differences. Thankfulness is about the present, the moment. You may feel thankful for something. Someone opens the door and you say thank you. Someone helps you change a tire on a cold winter night. You are very thankful for that. But gratitude is a little different in that it is an ongoing showing of appreciation as we journey through life. Maybe you could call it an attitude of gratitude, where thankfulness is an emotion. Gratitude is an attitude of appreciation under any circumstances. Gratitude involves being thankful, but it is more than just that. Gratitude means expressing thankfulness and being appreciative of life every day, even when nothing is happening, exciting is happening. Henry Amell, which I came across this, I don't know who he is, but this is what he defined thankfulness as, and I think it's pretty accurate. He says, "Thankfulness is the beginning of gratitude, and gratitude is the completion of thankfulness. Thankfulness may consist merely of words, but gratitude is shown in our actions." Maybe it's just me, but in my life, it seems as if society as a whole has lost some of the ability to be as thankful that I grew up with. As children, my parents taught me to be thankful for everything we had. My brother and I were taught to say thank you when someone did something nice for us. Maybe someone was giving a gift or a piece of candy or clothing. We said thank you. We were taught to give God thanks for each meal that we received. My brother and I would always say, "It's your turn." "No, it's your turn," because my parents would always look at us and say, "Which one of you wants to ask the blessing on the meal?" When we went to bed, we were admonished to give thanks to God for the blessings of the day. It seems that children and adults, in too many cases, have lost the ability, or may I say, the desire to say thank you, or to have a grateful heart. Too many feel they are owed a good life. It's owed to me, because they have never lived without the comforts that we enjoy in our world today. But when things are hard to come by and someone offers to help, the thank yous come more freely. Well, today, we want to examine this trait of being thankful and grateful. Are we as a people thankful? Are we a grateful people? Hopefully, we are both of those. From a physical observation, we find that being thankful affects us emotionally and physically. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says this: give thanks in all circumstances. That's hard to do. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in all circumstances. This verse is talking about an attitude that is part of who you are day in and day after, year after year, as a Christian. And if we are not a thankful person, studies have shown that being unthankful can harm us mentally and physically. For those of you that may not know, this month of May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And as you read about the things that attribute to good mental health, we find this from the Mayo Clinic saying, and I quote, "Expressing gratitude is associated with a host of mental and physical benefits. Studies have shown that feeling thankful can improve your sleep, your mood, and your immune systems. Gratitude can decrease your depression, your anxiety, difficulties with chronic pain, and the risk of catching a disease. Gratitude is a thankful appreciation for what an individual receives, whether tangible or intangible. With gratitude, people acknowledge the goodness in their lives." To me, I'm interjecting this, it seems that our world is filled with too many Debbie Downers, or maybe I should not pick on the women, Danny Downers, or we've been seeing too many of the Karens in this world. But for those who choose happiness in the process, they usually recognize the source of goodness lies at least particularly outside of themselves. As a result, being grateful also helps people connect to something larger than themselves as individuals. Now, this is quoting from the Mayo Clinic. "Whether to other people, nature, or a higher power." Continuing on in Harvard Health, it says, "In positive psychology research, gratitude is strongly and consistently associated with greater happiness. Gratitude helps people feel more positive emotions, relish good experiences in their life, improves their health, and they can deal with adversity and build strong relationships. People feel and express gratitude in multiple ways. They can apply it to the past, as I talked about our asking the blessing in the meals, retrieving positive memories and being thankful for elements of their childhood or past. the teachings of my parents. The present. You talk about the past, then the present. Not taking good fortune for granted as it comes. Being appreciative of the things that come your way. And the future. Maintaining a hopeful and an optimistic attitude. Regardless of the inherent or current level of sometimes gratitude, it's a quality that individuals can successfully cultivate and grow in their lives. Another leading researcher in the field, Dr. Martin Seligman, a psychologist at the University of Pennsylvania, tested the impact of various positive psychology interventions on 411 people he did this study on. And each compared with a control assignment of writing about early memories. Their week's assignment was to write and personally deliver a letter of gratitude to someone who had never been properly thanked for his or her kindness. Participants immediately exhibited a huge increase in happiness scores. Huge. This impact was greater than any other study that they did. I can relate to this, as many of you have positive memories of someone who went out of their way to help you, and you've never forgotten it. I always wanted to thank my history teacher, homeroom teacher, both of those, and her name was Mrs. Margaret Fletcher, for her help in some very difficult times when I was in high school. I never thanked her, but it was always something that I wanted and I felt that I should have done. Now, I just read of her passing a couple of months ago. It is important for us to thank those who have made a big impact on who we are and who we've become, because such as Sam changed his life. When we turn this Thanksgiving toward God, we realize that God is very good, that he does love me, that he keeps caring for me in spite of who I am and my stubbornness. Thankfulness is that overwhelming sense of awe at the grace of God, the mercy of God, and the goodness of God. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, we are admonished, and it says, always be joyful, continually be prayerful, in everything be thankful, because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And we find something similar in Ephesians 5:20. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now it seems easy to just read these words. And my brother and I have faced some very difficult times lately. And when I say always be joyful, it's tough. Continually be prayerful, yes. And everything be thankful, yes, we need to be. But it's not easy. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Luke 17, starting in verse 11. This is a fascinating, I know we've read over it many times, but it is fascinating to me as I read this and go over it. Luke 11, starting in 17. It says, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. Now we just read that word, leprosy. What is it? Well, it was bad. Discolored patches of skin. Gross. Nodules on the skin. Thick, dry skin. Ulcers on the soles of your feet. Swelling or lumps on the face and the earlobes. Loss of your eyebrows and your eyelashes. Not very pretty. At one time, lepers, as those with the disease were long called, were ostracized and unclean and were gathered into isolated leper colonies in order to keep them out of the sight and to control the contagiousness and to offer them what little treatment was available. With leprosy, you had to leave your home and your family and live in one of these colonies. And this truly was a life-altering disease. Just as a side note, leprosy still does exist in the world. The World Health Organization says there's approximately 208,000 cases in the world today. Continuing on, it says, and they stood at a distance because they were lepers. And they called out with a loud voice, and they said, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. They obviously had heard of the miracles that Christ performed, or they wouldn't have come out to meet him. Some commentaries, which say that they were merely asking for food. I personally don't think so. Christ immediately knew the difficulties that these men were suffering. He didn't have a little chit-chat or anything. He knew they were suffering. And when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. They didn't make it to the priest at that time. The priest in those days was kind of like the infectious disease control department, where the priest had to give the all clear to re-enter your village or your town. Can you imagine suddenly looking down, realizing you were cleansed from this horrible, horrible disease? Can you imagine how excited you would be? You gasp in joy, looking in disbelief at the pink flesh that once again covers your body. No longer an outcast and able to go back to your home and your family. If you noticed, all 10 of them immediately started to the priest. Not one question if Christ had the power to heal him. They just went as Christ had told them to do. And they were healed because of their faith. But this is where it gets interesting. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He was probably, as he was on his way to the priest and realized this, running as fast as he possibly could run to catch Jesus Christ. And I would like to hope that I would respond just as the Samaritan did. God just gave me my life back. He, in verse 16, it says, he threw himself down at Jesus' feet and he thanked him. He probably was crying with joy and happiness. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked this question. He noticed. were not all 10 cleansed? 10 of them? Where are the other 9 at? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this one foreigner? It is believed, some commentaries say, that the other 9 were Jews except for this Samaritan who was sometimes referred to, or sometimes they were called foreigners also. Then he goes on, Christ says, then he said to him, rise and go, your faith has made you well. The verses that we read here don't indicate that the Jews came back later or anything and gave thanks. But one thing is for sure for us, a lesson, is that we must constantly praise and give thanks to God as each and every day of our lives, He's doing mighty things for us. Mighty things. It's hard to imagine such an incredible miracle that was performed and not returning to give God thanks. I mean, I can't fathom that. Sometimes, if we're not watchful, we can let an attitude creep in of not being thankful. It enters our lives, usually because we're really busy. We're tied down with so many things, or we're wrapped up in our world, or maybe we can start to feel all of our success is of our own doing. We find such an example over in 2 Kings 18:5. This can happen to any of us if we're not on guard. 2 Kings 18:5, and it says, Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. He was a great king. I wish he was running our country. He would be a good guy to have up there. And over in 2 Chronicles 31:20, we find another admonition here. It says, this is what Hezekiah did throughout Judah, doing what was good and right and faithful before the Lord his God. Wow, what a leader he was. This is why I say we have to be on guard all the time about being ungrateful and unthankful. In 2 Chronicles 32, in verse 25, we get to the crux. It says, and this was happening, as you remember, Hezekiah became deathly ill, and he prayed to God fervently, and God was willing to give him 15 more years of life. But what does it say in verse 25? But Hezekiah was ungrateful. Ungrateful. After all the great things and his praise of God, Hezekiah somehow became ungrateful. And he had a proud attitude, provoking God to be angry at him, as well as Judah and Jerusalem. But we go from verse 25 to verse 26. And look at this. This is amazing. to me. But then Hezekiah and the residents of Jerusalem humbled themselves and abandoned their pride. And the Lord was not angry with them for the rest of Hezekiah's reign. What a turnaround. When you read it, it sounds like it's almost immediate. But this may be one of the reasons why, in verse 27, that Hezekiah developed this problem. Hezekiah was very wealthy and greatly respected. He made storehouses of silver and gold and precious stones and spices and shields and all other valuable possessions. He had a lot of wealth, but it came from God. God had blessed him abundantly. Did somewhere along the way he start to think, I have gained this? As we notice, Hezekiah repented of his ungratefulness, and he humbled himself, once again realizing that his blessings came from God and not from his own doings. But what if a person refuses to show thanks to God and remains ungrateful? What are the results? Well, in Romans 1:21, and you can go through the whole passage of this, but it says in Romans 1:21, it says, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And I can't help but seem to think this describes the world that we live in today. Their foolish hearts, their thinking became futile. Does that not sound like what's happening in our country? How do you describe in words an ungrateful person? Well, I looked it up, and it says, people who are ungrateful tend to be characterized by an excessive sense of self-importance. They're arrogant. They're vain. With an unquenchable need for admiration and approval. I don't know why TikTok just popped in my head, but those people need a lot of approval on there. They expect special favors, and they feel no need to pay back or pay it forward. That's an ungrateful person. In 2 Timothy 3, we're all familiar with this, but in 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 1, this is talking to us, I think. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. Is that not our world right now? It appears to me that it is. Well, as we shift gears on this subject, let's look at another aspect of thankfulness. Every Sabbath, we come here and we find our seats, probably not thinking of the work that goes into a smooth operating Sabbath service. Men and women serve us every week, providing coffee and tea, setting up the equipment for, as we just saw, the in accord, the song leaders getting up, setting up the podium, which this is somewhat of a chore to do, and the sound equipment. I realize what a service that they all provide, and I thank all of those people that do this week after week, and I know it's not easy. I remember back when I was a young man, which is a long time ago, and I was in the church, and I remember we were over in North Miami, and any job of service in the church was considered a promotion in the church if you were able to serve God. My job was to bring and take home the hymnals that we handed out at the door, as I was what we called a greeter. We had four greeters, two on each door. We had a huge auditorium. And we had about 600 people in services each week. It was a lot of people. And we had a carpenter in the church that built the songbook cases. And his name was George Cates. He was a wonderful, wonderful man. But the cases were made well, but they weighed a lot. We didn't get to leave them at school. We had to load them in the trunk. Week after week, year after year, I carried those bookcases. Two. It wasn't just one bookcase. There were books just like those back there. And they had like 50 in each case. And there were cases of them. They filled my trunk every week. And as best I can remember, it's possible, but it's best, no one ever noticed what I did. Because they didn't see me at my house getting them out of the garage and putting them in the trunk and taking them out of the parking lot and bringing them. And this was before somebody invented wheels on them. And I'm thinking, how could no one ever remember or design wheels that you could just roll them in like a dolly? But no, had two straps on the end. And you carried those things. But you know something? I knew, God knew, and God appreciated my service. We are called to be a thankful people. And it is incumbent on us to occasionally say thank you to those who provide these services. I see their work, and I know how hard it can sometimes be. I've seen the difficulties with the sound system sometimes, and they're fervently working. I saw Cliff, I think, 2 weeks ago in the bathroom, and he was wiping the sweat off of his forehead for the work that he was doing so we can have a smooth Sabbath service. And I know God appreciates it too. I've been there. And so many things, taking of the attendance, recording the services that are being done, behind the scenes things that we don't ever really think about. But they're all critical to the success of our Sabbath services. The men who are called to give opening and closing prayers, offering praise and thanks to God for providing us with a hall here, and our song leaders. We do it all in honor and thanks to God for revealing his Sabbath day and allowing us to serve in whatever way he wants us to. Can we thank God enough for all he does for us? Probably not, because we know he does so much more than we're aware of so many times. But we must continually recognize his blessings and never cease to give him thanks. You know, King David was known to give thanks throughout all his life. And when you go through the Psalms, you can read it over and over and over. And walk with the Lord. Even though David often messed up and made mistakes, he could still express gratitude to the Lord. And I want you to turn over to Psalm 69 and 31. 69 and verse 30, I mean. And it says, as we read, I will praise the name of God with song and exalt him with thanksgiving. And it will please the Lord, notice this, better than an ox or a bull with horns and hoofs. An animal sacrifice. His prayer of thanksgiving, David's thanksgiving in the middle of distress, was better than any sacrifice or offering that could be made. What a reminder that our gratitude is a beautiful offering to God. Daniel 6 and verse 10. Daniel 6 verse 10, it says, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, anybody caught praying would be thrown in the lion's den. He knew that document was signed, and he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and he prayed and he gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. And I sometimes think there must not have been windows that he could have closed them, but he was not ashamed to give thanks to God, and he was not going to change what he had always done, thanking God, even though it meant being thrown into the lion's den, losing his life. But thankfully, that didn't happen. And over in Jonah, we know the story of Jonah. He didn't want to do what God told him to do. And so he got thrown off the ship in a storm. And he was swallowed by a whale. And for 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale, it'll probably make you think a lot. And I think he looked back and he said, maybe I should do what God commanded me to do and go to Nineveh. In verse 9, Jonah 2, verse 9, after he's still in the belly of the whale, but he says, but I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I pay. He's going to go to Nineveh. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out on the dry land. I mean, that's a moment of thanksgiving right there, when you're suddenly spit out on dry land. You know, there were so many women and men within the Bible who were so thankful to God. Solomon, Miriam, Hannah, Paul, Elizabeth, all of them sang the praises and thanks to God for what they had done. You know, I like to read quotes, sometimes short poetry, but I enjoy it, and I especially enjoy people's famous quotes. They can sometimes capture what may seem difficult for us sometimes to put in words, but they're able to sum it all up in a short concise thought. And one of those was, gratitude turns what we have into enough. Think about it. Thankful for whatever you have. Another one. Gratitude is a powerful catalyst for happiness. It's the spark that lights a fire of joy in your soul. I like that. The greatest source of happiness is the ability to be grateful at all times. This one's from Ralph Waldo Emerson. He says, you cannot do a kindness too soon because you never know how soon it will be too late. Give that thank you while you can. Don't put it off. We don't know what tomorrow holds. As we express our gratitude, we must never forget that the highest appreciation is not to utter words, but to live by them. John F. Kennedy said that. As we near the end of this sermon, I would like to share, at least for me, a most encouraging psalm. And we find that psalm, Psalm 100. Turn over there, if you would. We want to read it. Psalm 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. He's our creator. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his holy gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him. And bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. That's a beautiful psalm. Something to really think about. Well, when we started today talking about Sam calling and saying how he wanted to thank my dad and show gratitude, I suddenly realized that our story is not so different than that of Sam's. Sam was headed in the wrong direction, and so were we at one time in our lives. We were lost without direction. And God called us, and he gave us a new direction. God gave us a new home, pulled us away from the life we once lived, provided hope and a future, showed us he cared for us, and for this we will eternally be thankful. We don't have to search for 40 years to say thank you. God is just a few words away. Thank him.